yet, so yeah.
We're audioing.
I just told Aviva's mom I gave permission to my phone, to the audio app, to audio. So yeah, I found it funny. So happy you chose my class. I feel very, very touched. So today what we're gonna do, as you know, I love archaeology and I love combining it with other stuff like Mekorot. What we're gonna do today, we're gonna focus on coins that were established in the time of different rebellions in the history of the Jews of the Second Temple. Okay, I'm gonna do Seder in everything. Don't worry, I have a timeline of all the different rebellions. And we're gonna touch base with the big rebellion, Amered HaGadol, and we're also gonna talk about Mered Bar Kokhba. Okay? And in the end, mamash in the end, we're also gonna talk about the Hashmonaim. Okay? But first, we need to talk about Sukkot. Okay? And how Sukkot is coming to all of it. You'll see it immediately. So Sukkot is mentioned many, many times, obviously, in different places in the Torah. And if we'll do like brainstorming, give me mitzvot of Sukkot. What would we expect to find? What would you expect to find in the psukim, not in the Mishnah? Maze? Leshev basukah, absolutely, nechon.
Arba
minim, yafe, what else? We have that, by the way. We have here berakas lemechem bayom rishon. What else?
Being happy.
Be happy, ve'itach samech. Nachon, that's actually not in Vayikra, but we'll see it in Dvarim. What else?
It's going to talk about sacrifices.
Okay, korbanot, nachon, absolutely. That's what you said. korbanot, absolutely. How long? The prophets, exactly. Why to sit in the sukkah? What is the meaning of the holiday, nachon?
Dates,
bidiyuk, and how much time, how many days, nachon. All that we can find here. I'm going to read the psukim really fast. בסדר, וידבר השם אל משה לאמור, דבר על בני ישראל לאמור, בחמישה עשר יום לחודש השביעי, your honor for you, חג סוכות שבעת ימים להשם. ביום הראשון מקרא קודש, כל מלאכת עבודה לא תעשו. Okay, the first day is like a Shabbat. Okay. שבעת ימים תקריבו אישה להשם, קורבנות. ביום השמיני מקרא קודש יהיה לכם, דת שמיני עצרת, והקרבתם אישה להשם, עצרת הוא, כל מלאכה לא תעשו. אלה מועדי השם אשר תקראו אותם מקראי קודש להקריב אישה להשם, עולה ומנחה וצבח ונסחים, דינה יוסד קורבנות, נכון? או רייצ'ל, someone there. סט, רחל, סליחה, מלבד שבתות השם ולבד מפנותיכם, and so on. אך ב-15 יום לחודש השביעי באוספיכם את תבואת הארץ. אוספיכם, what is that?
Collect,
יפה, that's the other name of חג הסוכות, which is חג האסיף, יפה. כל הכבוד, we'll touch base in that as well. ואוספכם את תבואת הארץ, תחוגו את חג שבעת הימים, ביום הראשון שבתון וביום השמיני שבתון, ולקחתם לכם ביום הראשון פרי הצדר. We all know that פסוק, נכון? Probably you have it in your sukkah. ולקחתם לכם ביום הראשון פרי הצדר, כפות מרים וענף אבות וערבי נחל, ושמחתם לפני השם אלוקיכם שבעת ימים, הוא עושה את זה שמחת בחגיך, וחגתם אותו חג להשם שבעת ימים בשנה, חוקת עולם לדורותיכם. היי בנו, בחודש השביעי תחוגו אותו. בסוכות תשבו שבעת ימים, כל האזרח בישראל ישבו בסוכות. למען ידעו דורותיכם, פרנסיס יו סד וואי, למען ידעו דורותיכם, כי בסוכות הושבתי את בני ישראל והוצאתי אותם מארץ מצרים, אני השם אלוקיכם. So much information about סוכות, נכון? We just like touch base of סוכות, what is סוכות, according to סוכים. So much to do, נכון? We have קורבנות, we have a lot of days. It's very long, נכון? Not mentioning here, what else is Sukkot when you're in Israel? In the time of the Mikdash? Give you a lot of hints here. Aliyah al-regel, יפה מאוד. It's also one of the regalim, נכון? That we're making Aliyah al-regel. So we have here a lot of different details.
Wait, did you have to transport your
sukkah? No, you build your sukkah in Yerushalayim. You come before Sukkot and you build it in Yerushalayim. It's a good question. But I would like refer you to Masechet Sukkah with a sukkah on a gamal, of a camel, and on a boat, and all that. Yes. So we see here a very special chag, nechon? We'll compare it to the other chagim. No doubt it's one of the chagim that has the most details, nechon? And if we'll say today, what is the main chag, the big chag that represent Jews or stuff like that, that we have a lot of work to do before and so on?
Pesach,
absolutely Pesach, nechon? Back in the time of Mikdash, it was actually Sukkot. Sukkot is the chag, as a kibbudim. Sukkot is the chag that everybody comes to Yerushalayim. Sukkot is the chag that is the aliyah l'regel, the largest aliyah l'regel, just because of the weather. One of the reasons is the weather. Okay, if you look at the three regalim, Sukkot is the one with the most comfortable weather to come. To come to Yerushalayim. Okay. Pesach, it's in the end of Chon, but it's an end of the winter. Everything is wet. Don't forget that you sleep like on the way. The way is very long. Nachon, we didn't have a chance to do a class about Aliyah L'Regel, but it can take a few weeks even to come to Yerushalayim. If you come from Alexandria in Egypt, or you're coming from Bavel, even if you're coming from the Galil, it takes a while. Nachon? Exactly, it's road tripping, mamash, and you sleep on the way. It's actually a research that's happening now in Yerushalayim mostly. How do you do it with Olim L'Regel? And they're finding like parking lot and, you know, like camping zones for Olim L'Regel. Like in En Yael, not too far away from here, and so on. So it's mamash an operation of the Aliyah L'Regel. Sukkot is the largest one. Another reason for that is that actually we always imagine Bikurim, Koman B'Shavuot, but when you think about it, and maybe now you notice it in the supermarket, most fruits are actually now, in the summer. Okay, soon we won't have some fruits in the supermarket, just letting you know. Israel is a season country, soon it will be oranges and no grapes and so on. But if it's grapes, if it's pomegranates, if it's dates, if it's figs, all of that you can bring Bikurim, not in Shavuot, but in Sukkot, you actually bring it.
When's date season?
Now. Tamarim?
When does it go out?
Like summer. It's a summer fruit. Can't stop. No, dates actually you can find because
yeah,
it's dry.
I feel like that's usually.
Dates you can find. Majhul is what you want. You have different brands. I'm just imagining the person who listened to that in my head. So you have a lot of people coming to Sukkot. Also because it's so long, so people are saying, if I'm already coming on Aliyah L'Regel, exactly, I should come to like the holiday that happens the most. On Sukkot, every day you have a different korban, every day you have a different holiday. You have Simchat Bet HaShoeva, you have Shmini Atzeret. Simchat Torah was only later. Okay? But you have all these stuff that happens in Yerushalayim, in the Mikdash, that you want to be a part of, so you're coming Davka on Sukkot.
I don't remember in Menachem
Bet,
when everyone was reunited and they all went to the
Mikdash,
was that Sukkot or was that Pesach?
It was most likely Sukkot. Because Sukkot is mamash the time that everybody comes. So Sukkot become also a Chag of Achdut. Okay, Sukkot mamash represent that. What else does Sukkot represent? You mentioned happiness. Why is it easier to be Ach Sameach in Sukkot? Think of the other name of Sukkot.
The harvest,
exactly. Okay? Think of a person that survived on his field. Okay? When you're planting stuff, when you're putting the seed in the ground, you don't know what's going to happen. We just said it in Yom Kippur, in Shchuna Gshuma. You're really afraid that there won't be enough rain. You're really afraid that nothing would happen. If nothing would happen, it means you don't have food for your family. It means that you don't have a produce to take to the market, and then you don't have money. There's a lot of different meanings to that. Like today, we live in a very happy place that we, like, sach hakol, it's cost more. But we always have the products, right? But now, if it didn't happen, it's very, very scary. So Sukkot, so Pesach, when you don't know exactly what's going to happen, you're still in that question mark. Shavuot still, Sukkot is after everything has been harvested already. Now you're starting a new season. So it's mamash happiness of a relief. I know that my pantry is full. I know that I have money for my family. I know that I have food for my family. I can, you know, sort of say, not sort of, I need to say thank you to Hashem. And Sukkot becoming also a holiday of everybody coming to the Mikdash and basically saying thank you for a good year. Of course, if it was a hard year, it will be after Yom Kippur that continues. You feel that. But Chag HaAsif, it's a holiday of gratitude to Hashem and connecting to the land. So basically, Sukkot, like, combine everything together. You have the connection with Hashem. You have the connection with the Am, with the Chdut, with the nation. And you have a connection also with your land, with Eretz Yisrael. You feel it all. And Sukkot become a symbol because of that. It's like the full package of what you want in life. You want Mikdash, you want your pantry full, you want connection with your land, you want connection with your nation. And Sukkot really represents that. And that's something that we can see and touch when somebody choosing a symbol for his nation. For example, coins, okay? So what is the deal with coins? Like before that, I'm gonna show you a coin and then we'll talk about what exactly are coins. Even today, coins represent a lot. I don't know if you never noticed the money that you have in your pocket, but money represents a lot. It's not just a piece of metal. When a country deciding on putting something on the coin, it's mean that it's something that represents them, okay? England, for example, has the king. The king, now it's a king. And England, and Canada, that says a lot. Okay, think about it. It says a lot about the relationship with Canada and England, right? Canada, for example, has a lot of, did you ever notice what you have on your coins?
Animals,
exactly. There's a lot of nature in the Canadian money. Okay, but it actually represents a lot. Had a loon, and then you had two, and then it's a loon, exactly. Then it's 20. Yeah, I know. Can, but think of Canada. Canada is a very nature-like country, right? Every year, I'll tell you that. Every year when I give orientation, it's always the Canadian. Later. I'll talk of American money. Don't forget. Don't worry. Every year when I give orientation, the Canadians are the ones to ask me about Poseidon. Okay. It's a big thing in Canada. The honey is like a value. You grew up with it. It's a part of it.
Compost everything.
Exactly. Okay. So that's Canada.
It's really weird for me to not have.
You can't. We have.
Yeah. I just. It's a lot of work. Recycle and compost.
She only just 16.
Let's do America. What is on the American money?
The Illuminati.
Exactly. Okay. No. There's history. There's history on the American money. Think of quarters, all the different quarters and people that collecting quarters, okay? You have the capital and you have American history on the money. There's also a series of national parks on quarters. I actually read about it, guys. Exactly, but it's all history. It's all history. America, the states actually saying we are connecting with our history. Same goes for Israel, by the way. All of the money, and I told you that in Il David, Nahon, all the money, all the coins, the Israeli coins are actually ancient coins. And Israel, what Israel is trying to do is making a connection between the Jewish history and between Israel today through money. If I would lose a shekel, which would be fine, in Japan, and a Japanese person will pick it up, can he learn about Israel through the coin? Yes, you can learn what language you speak in Israel, what other languages that you can find in Israel. Look at the coins sometimes, okay? What is the symbol of Israel? What are we trying to say? You can see a lot of different stuff on coins. Same goes for ancient times with something else that I want to add that is also Kumai today, okay? Can I just publish money and say, use my money?
No.
I need to be a country. I need to be a land. I need to have a government. I need to have a function government, let's call it that. Same goes in olden times, okay? When I want to rebel an empire, the first thing I'm gonna do is post money, okay? When I have my money, it means I am no longer under your government. I am my own individual, strong, functioning government, and you are not the one to tell me what to do. And that's why when we research rebellions, we always gonna look for coins, because that would tell us, was that rebellion serious or just a group in the nation that were like, you know, against something and did a few stuff? Yes, Jan?
What if it doesn't make sense?
Why?
Once you've started your own independent currency, then you're saying,
yeah, but no one has to accept your currency.
Nahon.
But you are saying something.
And if it was accepted, it means you're not alone. You're not just a group. You're like a nation that's doing something against an empire. Okay, if I will see the same coin in Yerushalayim, in Ashkelon, in Tzipori, in Gamla, in Shiloh, in the Caesarea, it means that it spread, it means that people used it. That makes sense now?
Yeah.
It's hard. Yes, you have to. It means also that this rebellion was something that people prepared to for a while. If it's money, if it's, you know, even time to do that. You need to make each coin by hand. It's time, okay? If I'm not fighting, I need, like, the time to do other stuff. And it says a lot. So that's actually happened during. Because here, for example, I can see Shin Gimel, that's Shana Gimel of the rebellion. And I have Bet and I have Dalit as well. Okay, the first one doesn't have a Shana. Okay, so I have here a functioning sort of a government that we should talk about, okay? So first, let's put it in the timeline. Okay, from now on, you're not gonna look the same on money. I made you like go in my head. So first, the timeline. I made that slideshow years ago when I started teaching history, and I noticed Israelis, Americans, that's where I taught, always mix the three big rebellions together. Which makes sense, okay? They are confusing. And that's the reason I make this. No, it's from right to left, come on, because I'm Israeli. Yes, everything in my life is right to left. Okay. Even, you know when you enter your Google, I told you guys that, and you have like a box of your Gmail account and it's like logging in. You saw what I did? I did from right to left, you notice that? So mine is from right to left, yours is left to right. It's by the definitions, yeah. What? It would drive you crazy?
No, I'm saying...
She does both. She does
that. Yeah, so I do
ooh,
my
that
bookshelf.
I can too.
When I organize series, I tend to do... Because I look at my bookshelf both ways. I'm like, which one is more natural? And I look at it both ways. So I tend to do book series going first and then second and also...
No, that I can too. But yes, I will do numbers.
And I switch them all the time.
I'll do books.
Okay,
because in incident, I will do books. Even if to say, achat, shtayim, shalosh, I will do it from right to left.
This is not up for debate.
Yeah. I do it.
Right. Tonight, go to your makom. Ella will rear.
Ella will be destroying your makom.
I also don't have the person who every time I get a piece of paper, I genuinely forget which way English goes and which way Hebrew goes, and I just stare at my paper for 15 seconds.
You know why it's like that?
It makes you.
It actually makes sense why it's right to left and left to right. You know the reason?
It makes you. But they made us get all the Hebrew stuff. You have to flip it. Like the punch holes would be on the other side, and
yeah,
I forget to do
course.
It. And they take points off my test for it. Because I would do it on the other side.
That's
so. The staples also were on the other side.
Okay, you're in a safe place.
Anyway, wait, why does it make sense?
Oh, it makes sense because Hebrew is much more ancient. It actually goes back to archaeology, guys. Hebrew, the first Hebrew was written with like a hammer on a stone, and then you want your strong hand holding the hammer and your left hand curving it, and then it's easier to do it from right to left because this, like most people, are right. But English and Latin, actually, Latin was already invented in the time that there was ink. And then if you do it right to left, like when I write, sometimes I smear what I wrote. If it's like wet ink, I might like, you know, smish it.
Oh no, in Hebrew.
And that's the reason you write left to right, and then you're not touching the ink that you just wrote. You're a lefty, you have a problem.
It only works if you're writing one sentence.
David is also lefty.
But it only works if you're writing one sentence and there's like a block of text, your hand is going to
you
be
put salt, you let it dry. Ken. Think of like native.
No, for me, every
movies.
Time I write, I just end up getting like tons of.
Guys, we're going back to rebellion. Okay.
No.
Are you rebelling my class? Okay, so.
Rebellion
and the Jewish history. We have three big rebellions that we're mentioning. Yes. There were other rebellions, other tried to resist, but the three big ones that we usually mention happened in the time of the Second Temple. Okay, two of them in the Second Temple, one after. The first one, the most famous one, is Mered HaChashmonaim, the Chashmonaim Rebellion, Chanukah, obviously, Nechon. It took 2.5 years, it's BC, before count, okay? Who did they fought against?
The Greeks.
The Greeks, exactly. Did they win? Did they lose?
They won.
They won, obviously. Nahon, we're celebrating Hanukkah. Nahon, Yafemo, that was the first one. After that, there are 75 years of a Jewish country with a Jewish king, with coins that we're not going to talk about today, okay, because they don't have any Sukkot symbols, except for one, but we're not going to mention it today. And basically, after 75 years, the Roman Empire is taking over. La la li la la la. Beseda? About 70 years later, against the, about 100 years later, sorry, the big rebellion happened, okay? They are fighting against the Roms, okay? The Romaim are in Israel at that time. The Romans, thank you. The Roms. Just count how many mistakes I have. It was a very long rebellion, okay? Five and a half years that it's taken. It starts in the Galil, up north. In the middle of it, 70 after count, Yerushalayim is destroyed. The second temple is on fire on Tisha B'Av. Okay? And 3 years later, it's ending with Metzada. Girls on Masa, Bezrat Hashem will be there. Okay? Very soon. That one is absolutely, and we find it in different ways, inspired by the Hashmonaim. The Hashmonaim was the big rebellion that they won. They were able to establish a Jewish state. That is the dream, a Jewish state. By the way, a Jewish state between the Hashmonaim, the next Jewish state that occurred in Israel is this one. Okay, for 2,000 years in the middle, there's no Jewish state. And that is the dream. I had a professor, Zichrono Livracha, that used to say that his dream is to find in tunnels of the Big Rebellion and Bar Kokhba Rebellion, to find Sefer Maccabim. Because this is like the inspiration. This is where, like, this is the goal. A Jewish king. Okay? The Big Rebellion had coins. We're going to talk about it in a second. The second, the next rebellion on the timeline is the Merit Bar Kokhba that we are celebrating with Lag BaOmer. Okay? One of the reasons of Lag BaOmer. Bar Kokhba was the student of Rabbi Akiva. His name was Shimon, if you want to know that. Shimon Bar Kuziva, and he's starting a rebellion against the Romaim. Now I'm going to say it in Hebrew, the Romaim. And he's starting really good, like he's accomplishing a lot. And then the Romaim, like changing the commander chief of their army, and boom, the Jews are losing. Okay, we don't have a lot of information about Merit Bar Kokhba, because basically both sides lost. And you don't write things if you lost. Only if you win. Okay, so you don't have a winner, you don't have much history. That was a very long rebellion as well, very rough, mamash a churban. Like, we don't look at it as a churban because there is no Bet Mikdash that was destroyed, but mamash, big parts of Israel were destroyed. The whole Shfela, Yavne area was destroyed, the Sanhedrin is moving up north. The whole community, we spoke about it in my class when we spoke about Kohanim, everybody is moving up north, and basically the area of Yerushalayim was closed in the Big Rebellion, the area of the Shfela was closed in Bar Kokhba Rebellion, and from now on, like mamash, the Jewish nation in Israel needs to find its way. Okay, mamash, like you see it mamash in the Mishnah, with different psikot. After Merit Bar Kokhba, you find a lot of psikot about widows and orphans and how it's important to give tzedakah and help the people in your community and so on, because that was the problem at the time. Okay? A lot of people lost their life there. Beseda, does that make sense now? Okay, we're moving on to coins. The most common coin from the Big Rebellion is this one. The Sheken, okay? We find it in many, 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 many places in Israel. Basically, when we look at coins in archaeology, we have the face and we have the back. We have the face because imagine other coins, like the England one, you have a face, mamash a face. In Israel, we won't find a face. Why?
Because you're not supposed to paint the face.
Exactly. Lo ta'aseh lecha kol tmuna, okay? It's avodah zarah to draw other people's faces. Today we'll look at it in a different way, but when we see a name of a commander or king or somebody, we'll call that side a face. When we don't find it, we'll just, you know, call one side the face. So the side of the face, we have a chalice, and around it in ancient Hebrew we have a inscription Cherut Yerushalayim, okay, and we have Shin Gimel. Huh? It's a goblet, you would say, not a chalice?
It's a chalice.
It's,
right.
It's like a dovia.
I don't know what a chalice is. You knew more English than I did.
It's from Indiana Jones. I actually know Chalice from archaeology. I dug a lot of them. So Shin, Gimel, we said Chana, Gimel. And from the other side, the other side we have pomegranates, okay, connection to Rosh Hashanah, and around it we have in ancient Hebrew, Yerushalayim HaKadosha. Important to say that ancient Hebrew is not being used anymore, okay? They make a decision to, they use Hebrew like we use in books today, like the Ketav Merubah, but they use ancient Hebrew in sort of what we're doing today with our coins, looking to the past. Okay, making a connection to the past, to the time of David HaMelech, the other one. Yeah.
Does this mean that like the Torah was originally written in like ancient?
So looks like it. The most like we have parts, very ancient parts of the Torah. The one that we have, and you can see it in the Israel Museum in Echal HaSefer, is the one from Yam HaMelech. You heard about the scrolls of Yam HaMelech. So that is written in Ketav Merubah. There are some that is written in ancient Hebrew. And all of them, they write Yud Kei Vav Kei in ancient Hebrew. That is very, very interesting. Or like four dots. But we know that the Torah is even more ancient than that, obviously. From First Temple, the most ancient source of Torah that we have is the Pasuk of Birkat Kohanim, that was found next to Merkaz Begin, okay, next to Tachana Rishona, really close to Tachana Rishona. They found a piece of silver that had it in the ancient Hebrew, and it was scrolled, and it was like a necklace. It was found in a grave. So that is the most ancient part of the Torah that we know of, and it is in ancient Hebrew. Okay. It makes sense. Okay. That is the most common one. By the way, they make that fit to be machatzit shekel, which means when they're making money, they think of the mikdash. We can also see that from the inscription, right? Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. Even if I find this coin in Tzipori, which is up north, we'll go Be'ezrat Hashem together, it means that the people that fighting in Tzipori, that fighting in the Golan, in Gamla, people that fighting in Shiloh, the people that fighting in Ashkelon, in their heart, the goal of the rebellion is Yerushalayim. That is the place that is the most important for them, because they think of the Mikdash. And their life is surrounded by the Mikdash. We need to understand that it's a different way of living that we live today. You always think of the Mikdash. Everything that you do is around the Mikdash. And that is the most important thing. It looks like the goblet have any some connection to the Avodah in the Mikdash. Okay, we might, we will mention it later. Okay, the next coin, this is the shekel, that was like the Chetzi shekel. We see the panim and the gav, okay? Less common, but we do find it. You see the esel shekel? You see? Okay. So on the panim, we see a date with baskets and the fruits are falling. It's all full fruits that it's falling. The date, the tree of dates is the dekel, is representer of Eretz Yisrael in many, many, many cultures. Around it, we find Legeulat Zion, okay? Zion is Yerushalayim, Israel. On the other side, we find it says Shnat Arba Chetzi. It's year four and what it is. It's a half. And here, what do we see? Yafe me'od. We see two lulavim and one etrog in the middle. Okay, I'll show it to you again. Don't worry, we have more. Okay, here are some more. So this is like the tinier one. Here we find Geulat Zion, and we have here an etrog. Exactly. On the other side, we find Shana Arba Reva. And we find the two lulavim. They basically took the gav of the other coin and divided it between the two sides. This coin is really tiny, like this size. Wow. Okay? Yeah, very
and
impressive.
They got that much detail?
Very impressive, right? Yeah. Okay. Another one, even smaller, we see the same goblet and Geulat Zion. And on the other side, we find lulav, two etrogim, and Shnat Arba. You feel the Sukkot?
Yeah.
You see now the reason for this class?
Yeah, well,
okay, if we put it into drawing, which is easier to see, we can see that the idea of Sukkot that is represented by Arbaat HaMinim is coming again and again and again in the coins. And if we said a lot of things about how you choose what you're going to put in the coins, it means that Sukkot meant a lot to these people. Okay? Soon we'll open a like a whole discussion why, so start thinking about it. Sukkot, they choose to put out of the four coins that I show you, three of them had Arbat Aminim. It says a lot about Sukkot. It says a lot about the people that chose it and how do they view Sukkot. Okay? So here it is, what we see. According to most research that agree with that, the etrog looks like an etrog. Nahon, you can see the pitam here. Okay, two is for symmetry. We call this kind of etrog a lemon etrog. Okay, it looks like a lemon, so we'll see something else. That's the reason we say that. And we see here like a basket, the lulav. Okay, the hadasim is mentioned as the fruit of the hadas. I don't know if you ever saw hadas that is blooming and has fruit. It's like tiny, tiny black fruits, a brown fruit. You don't eat it. Okay, you use the hadas for the scents of it. Maybe animals, I don't know. Eat it. And the leaves are the alavut. Okay? Do you want to say anything about it? What do you notice?
We use leaves now.
We use the leaves now. Nachon. Nachon, compared to that. Exactly. So we see here a different mesora of using hadas with the fruits. Okay? That's one. Yes? So we said that the etrog, they used one. But they put it together as a symmetry on the coin. Nachon, and then it had two lulavim. Exactly. They care of symmetry. They say that's something nice. There's also there's like FOMO sometimes in the art of a. You don't want to put anything empty. You see it a lot of vases. Like today we see more of like maze.
Or vacula.
Yeah. Can. Yeah. It could be that also. But you see like a lot of.
It's like the artistic when they like, you know, like you ever see like stuff that's like that is like swirled everywhere and it's like filled with a lot of like Arab stuff and like old Latin like text and stuff that has like the swirls everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's like a horror of vacula, it's like fear of like
the extra space.
What about the basket?
Tell me about the basket.
Can you don't do that.
You don't like it? We do it today. We have the question.
No, we like hold it.
But you have the kosher
cup.
Like
yeah,
so that's a case?
I find that kosher cup is like a secret that only men know.
What?
Like we don't know how to make the kosher cup. Only little Haredi kids know how to do it. Buy it in the shuk. I don't know. By the way, I highly recommend it. Go to the shuk Arbat Aminim next to the shuk. It's beautiful. It's a really nice. You find it only now. Nachon, we do have a basket today, but this one is different.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It looks like maybe the amount was different. Okay, maybe there were more aravot
right
and had the same. In the pasuk, it says ones. Okay, in the pasuk, it doesn't mention how many. Today
like,
we do 3 and 2.
So
but it doesn't, exactly.
Ritual.
So it's possible, like temanim today, they use a lot of aravot. They put a lot of aravot in the same. They have a different tradition than Sephardi Ashkenaz Jews. What about the lulav? It's open. Now some of you are going to choose a lulav. You need a lulav that is closed. Have you ever hit it too hard, shaking the lulav, and then your dad told you, don't do it too hard so it won't open? No, just my dad? Okay. So you need it closed. Nahon, we even put the little hoops on it. Here we see a lulav that is open. Through the coin, we can see a totally different mesoret of Arbat Aminim. Okay? Now we need to ask, when does it change? When can we say it changing? Yes.
But how can we assume that the amount is an artistic license like the
Nachon.
Amount of entry?
Nachon, we can't say about that amount. But the lulav, I think we can say.
And we can also say for sure that they were using berries and not...
Nachon. Nachon, that's also true. That's very true. You're going to love that bank of black coins. Okay, so we see here one way. We're now discussing yet why did they choose Arbat Aminim. First, I want to show you bank of black coins, and then we're going to talk about it. You set up? Any questions about the Big Irelian, about these coins?
No.
Sababa. Okay, so the Bank Kokhba coins. We'll do 30 seconds about the Bank Kokhba. For one hand, one side of the room, we see Shimon Bank Kokhba represented as a coin. We don't know how he looks like because we don't have a picture of him or Rabbi Akiva or anyone. From the other hand, that's his coin that says Shimon Nasi Israel. Only through the coins we know of Bar Kokhba's first name. We don't know if it, without the coins, only in the 70s when the coins start to appear, then we learned of the name of Shimon Bar Kokhba, or Shimon, the way I like to call him. From
first name basis.
What?
First name basis.
Good, good. You know it's Israel. Very casual. From the other hand, we have Adrianus. Adrianus, we know exactly how it looks like. If it's coins, if it's this beautiful statue that was found in Israel, there are three in the world that looks like that, like the same, you know, series. Two of them were found in Israel. The third one actually was found in London. London was big for Romans and for coins. By the way, they had a big, big, big center there of coins.
Yeah,
yes.
We didn't steal that.
Say that should be in the British Museum.
We didn't steal the coins.
A few years ago, they brought all three statues to Museum Israel. And they were all standing there very nicely. Something interesting, the last thing I'm gonna tell you about that statue, that the head and the body were not made together. Like, it was a statue, they took the head down and put Adrianus instead. We don't know who was there first. But Adrianus, we know exactly how it looks like.
That's so cool.
Which is very interesting. I just wanna touch base on it, just to explain how weird it is
it
that
like
the Jews
person.
Don't draw face.
I would
okay?
love to know, like, I need to know what Dabna Malach looked like.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Ever since I told you he had a beard, right?
Oh, I just want to know what they all look like. Like, I just want to know.
Also, there is a Palshanut. Just... Also, I'm going to tell you about David the Menach. There is a Palshanut that Admoni is not a red hair, but very, very tan.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I
was
always a
redhead. Yeah, Admoni. Because all the people that he mentioned as Moni is like people that working in the field, if it's a sap, the bead, as a shepherd. I'm not sure that's the word I'm going to use. Shazuf, shazuf, yeah. Okay, so we said that Bar Kokhba rebellion happens after Beit HaMikdash is already destroyed. Okay, there's no Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Jews are not allowed in Yerushalayim. They start really good in the Shvedah. This rebellion started years before it actually started, okay? The Jews are preparing for it for years, and they're waiting for the needle to drop, you know, they're waiting for that event. And that event we can learn from coins, obviously, okay? This is a Roman coin that was established at the year 130, okay, 130 years. Here we see Adrianus on the face side, okay? You see, with the cheeks and the nose. Sababa. From the other side, we see a representer of a ceremony that happened in Yerushalayim. The ceremony is planting the city. When you're starting a new city, even today, you have like, how do you say it in English? Hanachat Even Pina. You know, the first stone. Yeah, exactly. Put the first stone. The same happened in the Roman Empire. Whenever you start a new city, first you like feel the land in order to prepare it for a new building. Okay, so usually, you do it in a land that has nothing in there. So you need to prepare the land, nechon? But when you do it in Yerushalayim, when you bring shvarim,
oxen,
thank you. Okay, there's two, you see it? You see the head, you see all the legs, okay? And they are attached to a person that is holding, help me again, machresha.
A plow.
A plow, exactly, thank you. Okay, that was very impressive. You're doing that yomi, it's nizikin. Okay,
you have that a lot. I just guessed from the action
yeah,
and
that
the
makes
context,
sense.
Not, I don't know what the words mean.
Okay. So I use that a lot. When you bring this kind of a ceremony to Yerushalayim, and you give Yerushalayim a new name, and you're starting in Yerushalayim a new city called Elia Capitolina, it says a lot. Okay, it symbolizes a lot. You're basically erasing the history of Yerushalayim. You're saying, right now I'm starting a new city. Hey, there is a city here. It's 2,000 years old. You can't really do that. But when Adrianus is doing it, he's like, he's trying to say something. And that is the event that's starting Bar Kokhba rebellion, okay? The rebellion is very hard, and during the, as we said, and while the rebellion is happening, Bar Kokhba is establishing new coins. This one is not as good. I'm gonna show you a better one, don't worry, in a second. I just wanted to show you how do you make coins in time of rebellion, Basically, when you don't have enough time, when you don't have the money, what you do is you take a normal coin by Adrianus, you put it on a metal, you put the what you want to put on it, okay? You reprint it, exactly. And with a hammer, you smash it, and it can reprint. How do we see it? Over here, you can see the head and the curly hair of Adrianus.
Oh my God.
Nachon? Isn't that adorable?
So what cool. Is that in the center? Aha! Ballerina.
Yeah, oh, that's a Lula.
Thank you, yes, that's a Lula. Lula. Here it is. Okay? Oh. So on the face, what do you see here? Bet Mikdash. Nachon, it's very obvious. Now let's say again what we said. Bet Mikdash does not exist. Bar Kokhba is what? In his 40s? He never saw Bet Mikdash. Okay? But.
It's a throwback.
It tells it exactly. It tells us what is the dream. It tells us what is the goal of the rebellion. It's a Jewish state and Beit Mikdash, and building Beit Mikdash HaShlishi. It's about 70 years after it got destroyed. Okay, we're going to the first one. 70 years later, the second one was built. Here, now it's the time for a third one. Okay, so that's the dream. Around it, there's the inscription of Shimon. Okay, it's like Shimon. And on the other side, thank you very much. Okay, so we see here something different. I'm going to show you a drawing of it in a second, but it's very clear that we have here a lulav, an etrog. You think it's more proportional?
No, the etrog. The other one's the etrog was the same size as the lulav.
That's an etrog, yeah.
Yeah. The etrog
we call it a peanut etrog.
Why does it have like those stones at the bottom?
What do you say? This one?
No, the etrog.
So here you have a pitam and an orchid.
Yeah, lulav looks like it's like
we have today. Okay?
So
around it, it's Shablachar Yerushalayim. Shablachar is initial
why did they have
for Shana Bet Leshichrur Yerushalayim.
What are the okay. Dots around the edges?
Oh, decoration. Okay. You'll see it also on the Israeli, some of the Israeli coins as well today.
So
like the shekel
it's
has
not
it.
To make them tamper-resistant? It's
no.
Just for decoration?
Just for decorations, yeah. The Romaim will put bay leaves as kingdom. Shimon also does it in his coins that he says Shimon is Israel. Here it's just dots. It's like you put something around it. It's a part of the FOMO that we mentioned. Pachad ha-chalal arik. Let's look at the more coins. Sababa. Here is a smaller coin. On one side you see, can you understand what it is?
Scorpion.
A corn.
Corn.
It looks
I'm
like
gonna
corn.
Use that.
I guess it's grapes.
It's grapes, exactly. Another representer of Israel.
I saw the other
okay,
slide.
We have limon, we have tamar, and we have the gefen. It's Shivat Aminim, nechon. And around it, it says Shimon. And here, what is that? A lulav or even a schach. Okay. And around it, Shablachar Israel. Okay. Another coin from one side we see again the magnificent octopus and chatzotzot. What is chatzotzot doing here?
Trumpets.
Why are they here? Bet Hamikdash. Bidiuk. In Bet Hamikdash, it has two meanings. One is Bet Hamikdash. The avodah in Bet Hamikdash involved a lot of chatzotzot, trumpets, and the other one is. Not a shofar, because the Haredat will put a shofar. When else do you use the trumpet?
Mashiach,
Nachon, never thought of that.
Hakel,
that's a mikdash work. Nachon.
Yoshua.
Oh, with the Yericho.
Okay, war. Okay, you use it in war. Also, we find in Bamidbar when they go out to war, they blow. Civil war? They use that also. Nachon, they use the trumpet. It's true. Okay, more coins. We have here again
the
tamal, and we have the nevel, and we have here a beautiful vase that we're going to talk about in a second. Here it's a shimon. Here we have again the lulav or schach, and here we have again the gefen. Okay?
Yeah, why aren't there olives?
The olives? How come we don't have white olives? It's actually very interesting.
We
do have olives with other fruits. For example, the Hashmonaim put like a horn full of fruits, like a Thanksgiving horn, okay, the full of fruits, Keren Shefa, and then but that is a totally different plus. We can do that in Hanukkah.
We did.
Do you really
or what about the menorah?
Another coin, very, very rare one. Only two of them were found. One found in an excavation, another found found in the black market. On one's on the backside, we find, what do you think it is? It's sort of a Bet HaMikdash, exactly. It goes with the other coin. And from the other side, just the lulav, with no etol. Okay? But the same idea.
How do we know it's not just a mistake?
It's different weight and so on. Okay. And two of them look the same. I don't know if they work together. We don't know where the other one was found. So, Arbat HaMinim, let's talk about that. What do you see?
A lot of
hadas. A lot of hadas. There's different opinions here. There's different opinions on what exactly do we see. Do we see a lot of hadas and two aravot?
Or is that like a lattice in a basket? Like a lattice in a basket?
Or maybe it's a basket and we're looking at one hadas and one arava.
Yeah, it looks like a needle.
Yeah. That, exactly. Look at the lulav. It got closed. Exactly. We can actually see that the tradition that we're using today happened somewhere in these 70 years, okay? The destruction of the HaMikdash caused it, with a lot of new mesorot, like tefillah, for example, okay? Maybe it was some sort of a Zecher HaKurban that we're doing stuff different now. We don't know exactly, we don't have any information, but we do know that between the two rebellions, something happened to the lulav, okay? Now we have a needle one, so actually looks like a needle. Okay?
And the peanut etrog.
And the peanut etrog video, the cutest one. I actually have a picture of a peanut etrog that my boys and I found last year in the shuk. Okay, I told them you have a goal now to find me a peanut etrog. That will be out of holding here. Today, people call it a gerten. You know, like the gerten. It's having a belt. So we don't know exactly if that is a basket and one in one, or it's a lot of hadasim or a lot of avavot. One of my favorite opinions is actually goes with the Mishnah, okay? When you go in the Mishnah is talking in the Sechet Sukkah of the different opinions, how many avavot and how many hadasim, because we said, we read the pasuk, it says one etrog, one pri etzadar, there's also a discussion of what etzadar is, and one lulav, but it doesn't say how many of aravot and hadasim, okay? So the discussion says, Rabbi Ishmael omer, shlosha hadasim v'shtei aravot. That's exactly what we do today, that's the reason that's the first one. That's the opinion that was accepted. Shlosha hadasim, shnei aravot, lulav echad v'etrog echad, okay? Rabbi Akiva omer, kishem shel lulav echad v'etrog echad, ken hadas echad v'arava echad. Okay, Rabbi Akiva is saying, if you're taking one etrog and one lulav, so one hadas and one arava. Who is the rabbi of Bar Kokhba? Rabbi Akiva. And I believe that through the coins, you can actually see a student follow his rabbi.
That's so cool.
Okay?
That's so cute.
And that's why I think we look at a basket with one hadas and one lulav, one etrog and one arava. Okay? And it makes sense. Rabbi Akiva was so much devoted to Rabbi Akiva. Bar Kokhba was really devoted to Rabbi Akiva, that died also in the rebellion. Aseret Arugei Melchut that we just read in Seder HaAvodah happens during the Bar Kokhba rebellion. Isn't that cool? Sorry, I love it. This is like the parts where I chill. Another coin that I showed you is the one with the amphora. That right next to it, you see the lulav, okay? And Shablachar Yerushalayim around it,
which should go
on the other side.
What? That looks like an olive branch. It could be an olive branch.
It could be an olive branch, yeah, you're right. But I'll show you something that will make you believe it's a schach.
No, I believe you. No,
the... Could be an olive. Olives, I would expect to have little olives on it. Francis, I would expect like dots that represent an olive. Okay. Could be a representing piece, like Noah, or something like that, but I don't know. That might be also in relationship to Sukkot. Why? It says in the bottom. How the vase will have any connection? It's not a menorah. I know how it can look like a menorah. This is attached to it. You see how it's like a jug?
Oh, there was a vase on
it. It's a jug. Nachon, and we saw already another one with a vase.
In what world is that?
Okay. You don't see it? This is the bottom, and then the neck. And this is like the top.
I see it, but it's a little bit off-centered.
Oh, what? Okay. I was like, why is the top of the jug only covering half of the bottom? Like, the base of the jug doesn't... doesn't seem to be connected.
Very interestingly though, the menorah is not a symbol of the Mikdash, only in the time of the Hashmonaim. Only one of them is using it, Adrianus, Antoninus. And besides that, it's not so much a symbol. So it's very, very interesting that it's the symbol of Medinat Israel. So what is that has to do with Sukkot?
No. Oh, there's like
the word like no. Yeah, very well. Simchat Bet HaShoeva, okay? Simchat Bet HaShoeva, that you take water from the Shiloach. We went to the Shiloach together, נכון? And you take water from it. That was the Shiloach. כן. The pool where we left the... No, the second pool... I had to use my dry accent for the last one, when we exit the tunnel.
Oh.
There was a pool there. Mm-hmm. This is Brecha
Tashida. That's so cool.
So they take water from the Brecha, from the pool, and they pour it on the Mizbeach, and that is Simchat Bet HaShoeva. Chazal is saying that Simchat Bet HaShoeva was like the happiest thing you can ever see. Mi shelo ra'a Simchat Bet HaShoeva, lo ra'a Simcha miyamav. It's like the most happier moment in the Zeh.
The rabbis used to like juggle or something like that.
They said that everybody were crazy. Yes.
Yeah.
That it was like just a crazy party.
Just like juggle like something.
Can. Yeah. Absolutely. I think Rabbi Ishmael used to juggle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they're mentioning how did they do it. Also in Masechet Sukkah. Nitzuach Hamayim Keitzad. Tzluchit Shel Zahav. You take a dish made of gold. A special one for that. Mechuzeket Shlosha Logim. Haya Memaleh Min HaShiloach. Okay, you take from the Shiloach with this special dish. הגיעו לשער המים, תקעו ועיריו, and all the way, like the Kohen is walking with it, and everybody is following him, and
imagine
with the trumpets.
Imagine he accidentally spilled.
מה זה?
He accidentally spilled.
It's mentioned here, okay? עלה בכבש, פנה לשמאלו, ושני ספלים של כסף היו שם. On the מזבח, there's two cups of, made of silver, מערבי של מים, מזרחי של יין, and he is supposed to pour it into the one that is for water. Here's the Mishnah, is mentioning a story, of the tzedukim and proshim and the different ways of halacha at that time. ולמנסח היו אומרים, הדבי ידיך, okay, raise it so we can see it, שפעם אחת ניסח על גבי רגליו. The tzedukim believe that you're supposed to put it on your feet and not into the cup. When that happened once, רגמו כל העם ואת רוגיהם. What did they do? רגמו is throw. They throw the etrogs on him.
Okay. Like that,
yeah, it was like the worst curse you can tell to someone. I wish someone will throw an etrog at you. You know, it's like, it's the worst thing you can tell someone. I even found a drawing today. Today I found it. Okay, of that. I found it in Masechet Sukkah for kids by Koren. But you know, I don't know. In Israel, we used to give curse to each other. You know, I wish you would eat an apple and forget to say bracha. Like. Okay, so back at the time, it was, I wish people would throw etrogs at you. Like, it's the worst thing you can do for a person.
So he dumped it accidentally? He spilled it?
No, he did it on purpose, because he was Tzedoki and everybody else. It's the Kohanim were Tzedok, and the Am were Purushim. Okay, so we believe that this point is also connecting to Sukkot. So what is the deal with all the Sukkot stuff? I'm going to skip that just because we don't have the if. We'll like compare the two coins, the two main coins, the two Arbat Aminim. We already done that, nachon, but now we can see it. We said about the lulav, we said about the etrog, we said about the amount, we said about the fruits. The fruits are missing here, you noticed, as well. Okay, so there's a lot of different things that we can compare, but obviously Sukkot is a thing on the coins. So now I'm going to ask you, why? Why do you think that?
Why what?
Lo kulan beyachad. Why Dafka Sukkot?
I
can, like, if I would make a Jewish coin out of scratch, yeah, with no history, no stuff, maybe I would choose a Chanukiah.
Maybe. It's the most prosperous time of year.
What?
It's the most prosperous time of year.
Nachon.
Yeah, there are one or two with agricultural stuff.
You're saying that's like a culture thing that everybody understands.
Well,
like when I talk to my people and I publish coins, everybody will understand. I'm talking
about
that.
Well, like we were saying about like how important it is when you pray for your harvest or whatever. Like that's not really so.
Everybody can connect to that.
Yeah.
Got it. Honor.
I feel like it's like not connected to like something. Like it's like the one like mitzvah that's kind of connected to something happy and not connected to something sad. I don't know. know, like,
like no one fought against us and we won.
Yeah, like it wasn't really. No, like, I don't know. Okay, fine, maybe that's not true.
No, you're right. There's the saying that Jewish holidays is like, we had a war,
like
they lost,
kind of
we won,
something.
Let's eat. That's
like for,
the phrase.
Like for like Pesach, like we left Egypt and it's like really heavy, but like we're still like remembering like how hard it was to like live in Egypt and be slaves. And then for Hanukkah, it's like we're celebrating because we won, but also like the Beit HaMikdash was like, I don't know, like it was just like a hard time overall.
And
so
here in
like,
Sukkot, we're
Sukkot,
actually
like,
celebrating.
We're not celebrating, like we're celebrating and there's no negative aspect.
We're actually celebrating the connection with Hashem. What we're celebrating is Hashem taking care of us in the desert. So maybe it's that. We want that connection again.
Can,
exactly. Like we're looking for that connection, that father and son connection between us and Hashem. That's beautiful. Shani.
Because we don't want to draw people and everything. So, but there's also a thing that like each part of the Master represents a part of the body.
Okay. Yafe, so that's how you represent Am Yisrael.
Yeah.
I have people. Femme on.
Just kind of unrelated. Were the coins originally circular and they've kind of gotten destroyed by time? Or are they not?
What do you mean, circular?
It looks like not centered with design.
Ah, you're saying that, Thierry. It's hard to make a coin.
Yeah.
We actually made one a few years ago in Il David. They had an activity. It was really hard. Really, really hard.
Can we do that this year? I
want to
make a coin.
Yeah, I don't know if they do it, but I can tell you where it was. Really close to here. It's a really cool place. Something else that a student once told me, that when Sukkot comes, you can't just do it at home. You have to be outside. You have to show everybody that you're Jewish. Pesach you can do at home. Pesach you can hide. Okay, like the seder that we hear about in the
well,
Haggadah, happening like in the basement.
You hide it on the balcony and just go.
Nachon, but you have to like show
it's
everybody that you're Jewish.
More.
It's like a proud Jewish movement
Unless
that
Hanukkah
you're doing.
Too,
because you have to hide.
Ma?
Hanukkah too,
true. But Hanukkah is not the Oraita.
Oh, true.
Nachon, and it's not mamash mikdash related, but we'll talk about Hanukkah in a second. Okay, and I'm gonna destroy that. But yes, Sukkot represents a lot. All the stuff that we said in the beginning, the connection with God, the achdut, the connection with the land.
But wouldn't you think Hanukkah would be more of a big deal for these rebellions? Because
it's a good question.
Nachon,
I'll wait with that. Beseder? I'll show you in a second. Beseder? So obviously, Sukkot means a lot to them. Sukkot is like something that represents stuff that they want. Think about it. They're in a time of work. They can't really work in the Mikdash. Bar Kokhba doesn't have a Mikdash. Okay? But he's hoping for this holiday that every day there's a different korban and everybody coming to Aliyah LaRegel and there's peace and you can celebrate and you can be Ach Sameach. Right now they're not very happy and they want to be happy. They are representing this holiday that represents happiness and that's very important for them. Okay? So all of that is joined together in Sukkot. Another way to see how Sukkot is important to Bar Kokhba, for example, is to see by his letters. In Mizbar Yehuda, in the desert, inside a cave, because it's so hot there, because it's so dry, a lot of letters were found, just like the scrolls that we mentioned from the time of the other rebellion, of the bigger rebellion. Bar Kokhba wrote a lot of different letters. That might be his handwriting, okay, and he's signing it, Shimon Bar Kusiva. And he's writing to one of his commanders that is in the Gush area. Okay? Now this is based for the last year, this is date for the last year of the rebellion. The situation is not good. They're hiding right now. Okay? Bar Kokhba is about to die. The like Beitar, which was the big city at the time, is gonna fall very soon. It's gonna fall actually in Shabbat, but at the end of that year. And everything is really bad. What does Bar Kokhba care for? Arba'at HaMinim. Okay? He's writing it in Arabic. I'm going to read it in Hebrew. Shim'on le'Yehuda ben Menashe le'Kiryat Arviah. Kiryat Arviah is in the Gush area. So he's writing to him. Shalachti lecha shnei chamorim. I sent you two donkeys. She'tishlach imahem shnei gvarim. You need to choose two men with the donkeys. And go to Yonatan ben In ben Mesabla. She'yamisu. Let them pack on the donkeys with the men, וישלחו למחנה אליך לולבים ואתרוגים. Okay, they should pack on the donkeys, לולב and אתרוגים for the people in the מחנה. ואתה, and you, should send others from you, וימצאו לך הדסים והערבות, and you should look around and look for הדסים והערבות, והתקן אותם, ושלח אותם למחנה, בשלש אוכלוסייתו רבה. Okay? War! They're hiding. What does Bank of care for? About a minute. Okay? And not just one. You know, sometimes in army bases, they have one and everybody's using one. No, he wants every person to have one. Okay? It's not just on the coins. It's a way of living. Sukkot is very important for them. Celebrating Sukkot is very important. I'll give you another example that Sukkot represents a lot. In Melachim, who's doing Piyot, or if you know, you're probably in Shmuel at that time of the year. But in the beginning, after there's two countries, instead of one, there's Mamlechet Yehuda, Mamlechet Israel. Yerobam from Israel doesn't want the connection to Beit HaMikdash anymore because he wants to divide. Exactly. What is the holiday?
It's
Sukkot in Cheshvan.
Yeah.
Nachon? He's saying, let's celebrate Sukkot in Yudalet B'Cheshvan. Okay, he's taking all the symbols of Sukkot and he's not taking a new holiday. He's not inventing a new one.
But
he's taking
like
Sukkot.
The golden cow was like something that he didn't really say.
Nachon.
Okay.
That's actually from, yeah. But we see again and again that Sukkot represents everything. It's like the full package, as we say. Okay? Something else that we saw on the coins is this branch of dates, the schach, as we called it. The schach we can see in another way, okay, and that actually could be a cute feltor. In Vayikra Rabbah, we find a discussion of two people going to court, and when they leave, you don't know who won. So how do you know who won? Okay, they're talking about Arbat Aminim, that sense, and they're bringing that. Amar Rabbi Abi, Mashal Eshtayim. What is Arbat Aminim? Mashal Eshtayim, שנכנסו אצל הדיין, ואין אנחנו יודעים מי הוא המנצח. Okay? Two people went to court, we don't know who won. אלא, מי שנסע בידו כף תמר, בידו, אנו, מי שנסע כף תמר בידו, אנו יודעים שהוא המנצח. Whoever is carrying the schach, the כף תמר, he is the person that won. כך, ישראל ואומות העולם, באים ומקטרגים לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא, ואין אנחנו יודעים מי המנצח. Same goes for Am Yisrael and the rest of the people in the world. We both are in trial in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And who won in that trial? Am Yisrael, אלא מתוך כך, שישראל יוצאים מלפני הקדוש ברוך הוא ולולביהם ואת רוגיהם בידיהם, אנו יודעים שישראל הוא שניצח. ארבעת המינים represent also the victory of art in front of Hashem, the big judge. Okay? So when people put, and we can see it also, in different places in culture. Okay, this is from Pompeii, for example, a mosaic of a competition.
Video. So cool.
Who won?
The person carrying.
The Olympics put the world. Tian. Okay? He is the winner. We know by the Kaf Tamal. Okay? And also here on a candle. We see here again, you see? He won. And here, he won. Okay, it's representing, and that's actually how they left as winner. Here we can see that from Rome. Now I said it right. He won. Okay, you can see that the person that holding the custom out is the winner. So let's go back to the coins for a second. Coins are made also, remember when I said that my coin will be left in Japan and they can learn about us? So what is that?
They want them to know the winners.
Exactly. We're rebelling. Okay, we're talking to the side of Am Yisrael, and we're talking also to the side that we're trying to like that we're not rebellion. Forgot the word. So it works both ways. When I put a lulav, it has a meaning that talking to Am Yisrael, and it has a meaning that talking to the rest of the nations, which is that we are the winners. We're gonna win. We're gonna win the battle. You'll see. True, they didn't, but they want to have that that meaning on their coins, okay? When we're carrying a lulav, we're saying the same thing, and that's one of the reasons Sukkot is so important for them, okay? And of course, I told you that we're gonna finish. Now, who cares if I'm in time? I'm totally not in time, but okay.
What time is it supposed to end?
Five? I told you in advance, we're not gonna finish with time. We're gonna finish with Maccabi. I told you that we're gonna talk about all three big rebellions. Nachon Maccabim, they won, the Chashmonaim won, and they're celebrating their first Hanukkah. How would you imagine their first Hanukkah?
It's crazy.
Nachon, but what did they do? The menorah, if they're lighting the menorah, yofi, and then what? They need to celebrate for 8 days. What happened? Maze? They eating sufganiyot, for sure, with jelly.
Yeah.
Getting very drunk, okay. So in Sefer Makabim, they actually tell us about their first Sukkot, about their first Chanukah. Sababa? ומכבי ואלה אשר עמו, שאלוהים אני גם קדימה, לקחו את המקדש ואת העיר. They're congregating in the city, they're congregating the temple, וניצו את הבמות, they're destroying all of the עבודה זרה, ותיהרו את המקדש ועשו מזבח אחר, ויבריאם הבנים, and then they, I'm skipping, and I'm not skipping because it's a beautiful sentence, ויבריאם הבנים הם לקחו מהם אש, ואלו קורבנות, לאחר תקופה של שנתיים, for 2 years there were no קורבנות in the מקדש, so that's the first thing they do, ועשו גם קטורת, ונרות, ומערכת כיכרות הלחם, they're working again in the מקדש, okay? ולאחר שעשו את הדברים האלה, בנופלם על בטניהם, just like we did yesterday, בנופלם, נופלים וזה, הם ביקשו מהאדון, השם, they're asking from השם, שלא ייפלו שוב ברעות כאלה, they're asking השם to end the war, to end that. I'll tell you in a secret, the war did not end after they cleared the Mikdash. Okay? ואם יקרה עוד פעם שיחתו שוב, יחונכו בחסד על ידו, ולא ימסרו בידי גויים מגדפים. If it ever happens, they need to be educated. Please don't do it through war. אמן ואמן. And I'm skipping to the yellow, okay? ובשמחה, ready for the first Chanukah? How they did it? ובשמחה, הם חגגו 8 ימים באורך של חג הסוכות. Okay? בזוכרם, שלפני זמן קצר הם עשו את חג הסוכות כשהם רואים במערות כדרך חיות. חנוכה and סוכות are close together, and they remember how they had to celebrate סוכות in the cave, hiding, not able to build a סוכה באמת, and need to be, you know, in war. And now, they want to celebrate סוכות as they should, okay? ולכן, בהחזיקה מטות וענפים רעננים וגם כפות מרים, they have 4 תמינים, הם העלו מזמורים למי שהצליח את דרכם לטיהור מקומו. Okay, the first Chanukah, they celebrate in Sukkot. Again, we see Sukkot as a symbol of a connection to Hashem, to the Mikdash, to Eretz Yisrael, to Am Yisrael. All together you have that. And that's the reason that Sukkot was always the symbol, the dream, the goal of all the big rebellions, all 3 of them. And I hope this Sukkot, Be'ezrat Hashem, will see a miracle just like we see in the past few Sukkot. And Be'ezrat Hashem, by us, continuing the same tradition. And that's amazing, guys. Okay, I just showed you coins that are 2,000 years old with Arba Taminim, and you're going to buy Arba Taminim and shake Arba Taminim. Isn't that amazing? And that says a lot, okay? And Be'ezrat Hashem will feel like the Hashmonaim very, very, very soon. Amen ve'amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. So nice to meet you.
Meeting you as well. Sorry. We have to...
No.